Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 147 of Nerd Pride Radio. 147, can you believe that actually today, Sunday as I'm recording it, not Monday as you're listening to it, but from today, there are exactly 147 shopping days left until Christmas. And since today happens to be my wife and I's 23rd anniversary, that also means that if you ever have trouble remembering when my anniversary is, just remember it's 147 days before Christmas. See? That was simple, right? Ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
Wait, you have to wait. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing today?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Oh, as always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride smells exactly like a kangaroo's scrotum. Cause I keep my dice for my games inside of a tanned kangaroo scrotum. Doesn't everybody do that? All right, maybe it's just me. All right. You know what? Before we get anywhere else, that's right. It's time for yet another installment of our all too frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong. So wrong. Last week somebody ask me what's in my go bag. What am I packing to go to Gen Con? Because, oh, by the way, Gen Con 2016 is this week, and I will be leaving in 3 days to go enjoy myself for the best 4 days in gaming. And someone asked me what was going to be in my go bag, and I said, hey, not a whole lot. And then I gave my list of everything that I was going to be packing. And as it turns out, because I've been obsessing about it and I keep adding things and remembering things, my packing list is way longer than I intended. It'll still fit neatly into a couple of bags. I mean, it's not like it's going to take up a lot of space, but in addition to the stuff I listed last week, that's right, you have to listen to my packing list. That's how obsessive I am. Yeah, deal with it. In addition to, I need, t-shirts and extra underwear, and oh yeah, I forgot pajamas. I gotta have pajamas. And then I have to bring my pillow because I'm a freak and I can't sleep on hotel pillows because I only sleep, mine is really super flat. So I have to bring my own pillow or I won't sleep very well while I'm there. Obviously I need my laptop. I gotta have my chargers and all that stuff in it and my microphone. My microphone and R2. Did I list those last time? I don't think I did. I can't do a podcast without my microphone and R2. All my medications, plus some extra over-the-counter stuff, ibuprofen, Sudafed, whatever. Toothbrush, toothpaste, deodorant. Okay, I gotta have a backpack. That backpack's gotta have a dice in it. Pens and pencils. Oh, Sharpies. I'm gonna need some Sharpies for labeling stuff. And, I was just mentioning to someone that, oh yeah, I should bring resistor because when I see Tony and Nicole, I should have them sign it for me. But, they're gonna need a Sharpie to do that. Better make sure I have that ready. Let's see. Oh, I have to have a notebook. I've got to be able to write some stuff down. Obviously, I'm going to have my little, it's not a pocket mod anymore, but I'm going to bring along my little composition notebook here so I can take notes for next week's podcast, which we'll probably then completely ignore as we babble on like we did last year. I can't forget to bring alcohol. I can't forget to bring some sodas because I'm going to need to be caffeinated in the morning and I don't want to have to go out and spend $5 on, on Starbucks every morning. Gonna have to have some snacks for the hotel room. So again, it's not a lot, but it's about twice as much as I mentioned last time. And all the games. And we've kind of, I think we've worked out what games we're bringing. We're bringing, between the four of us, we're bringing way more games than we're gonna have a chance to play in the hotel room or around as we're wandering. But, we're gonna be prepared. No matter where we are, if we've got 10 minutes to play something, we're gonna be playing some. It's gonna be a great time. I am so excited about this. And more than that, I found a video for the swag bags that they're giving out at Concert Against Humanity. And they've got all sorts of cool stuff in there. I just went through my swag bag from last year because there was still some leftover stuff that I hadn't used. I've still got a Cards Against Humanity expansion pack that I haven't put into play because I don't have my own Cards Against Humanity yet. My son has one, but you know, he lives 30 miles away. I also found some expansions for Dominion, so I slipped those into my Dominion game now that I own one and I have it open. Oh, it's gonna be great. They got all sorts of new stuff coming this year too. The video was awesome, got me pumped yet again. But hey, you guys don't want to hear about what a great time I'm gonna be having. Let's move right on to the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Cause this is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week, as if that's not what I'm already doing. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list right here in this handy dandy little composition notebook I have in my hand. And the best stuff off of this list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. What, Noah?
You just said that you would stop talking about yourself, and then you said where you rave on about yourself.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Because I am A, an egomaniac, and B, a consummate liar. I can't help myself. But anyway, let's check out my master list for this week. And I have, okay, first up, my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. First up, we played some more Pathfinder this week, 2 weeks in a row, because, you know, next week would have been our regular week, but hey, going to be in Gen Con. And had a great time. I think we're just about to fight a dragon. I mean, the first time in this campaign that we've fought a dragon, so pretty excited. And I was caught completely by surprise. This is, once again, this is the Rise of the Rune Lords campaign from Paizo for Pathfinder. And if you've never played Rise of the Rune Lords, then hey, spoilers coming up. But here's the thing. We are coming back from, you know, we took this long journey out. I told you last time we, you know, saved the fortress, battled the ogres, came back, got our reward, and everyone in the group, we have hints that our little adopted hometown of Sandpoint, we've had hints that it's going to be attacked by a dragon or attacked by a force that includes a dragon. And people got very, very panicked. And I've been thinking to myself that, come on, it's a vague note. We don't know the exact time frame. We'll have time. I mean, yes, we want to hurry and make sure we get there, but we've sent the people warnings. They know what's coming or what might be coming. We'll get there. It'll be fine. All right. It's not like, you know, it's not like we have to hurry that much. We've still, you know, we've got other obligations, stuff to do. I haven't been that worried about it. I mean, yeah, you know, my character's a little worried, but the idea is, yeah, when we get there, we'll get there and it'll be fine. And then we showed up and literally we come in that night and we sit down with the local sheriff and we start making plans. And the next morning, the attack comes in. I honestly thought we'd have a few days. I honestly thought it was going to be like we'd get back and there'd be, you know, a good week or two to prepare, that we'd have some time to do other stuff and get things ready. And no, it was the next morning. This game comes with a calendar. And what, if we hadn't hurried, we would have come back to find the town devastated. Oh, that would have sucked. So here we are defending the town and it's kind of intense and I'm a little concerned. So we'll see how it goes. But Pathfinder is not the most important game I played this week. The most important game I played this week is Bean Boozled. And I know probably most of you have played Bean Boozled or sampled Bean Boozled. It's from the Jelly Belly Company and inspired by Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans out of the Harry Potter stories. They started creating nasty flavors. And they look identical to the regular flavors, but they're nasty. So when you pull them out of the carton, you don't know if you're getting buttered popcorn or rotten egg.
I got rotten egg.
Yeah, how many times did you get rotten egg, Noah?
Three times
he got rotten egg. And by the third one, he's almost crying, going, all I wanted was a buttered popcorn. I'm pretty sure that they unbalanced those boxes like two-thirds nasty and only one-third good, because that's what it felt like. And I'm just saying, we played it in the car. We were driving home, and me and my son, Jacob, my oldest, he bought a box because he thought it would be funny, and we had, you know, a 45-minute drive. Over an hour drive to get home, and he thought it would be funny if we played some of this, and we couldn't convince the girls to play with us, but that's okay. And so it was just me and him, and he would find two matching jelly beans, and he would hand one to me and one for him. And then on the count of three, one, two, three, go! And almost always we got exactly the same thing, that either we both got the good one or we both got the bad one. I don't know how it worked out that way. There was a couple times it was different. But these beans are amazing. And again, those of you who've tried it, you know. But I'm telling you, the first one we did, vomit. And we both got vomit, and we both had to spit it out. And thus, thank God, we realized at that point that, yeah, you know what? If we had a nasty one, we're not chewing them up and we're not swallowing them, because, oh, those are so bad. That would be an interesting challenge, is that you have to actually eat them to completion. I don't know that I could do it. But vomit was horrible. It was vile. It is the second nastiest bean in the box. And, you know, and then as we went on, we got the rotten egg, and we got the sweaty socks, and we got some really nasty stuff. But I'll tell you what, grass clippings, I'll eat grass clippings any day of the week compared to these others. Baby wipes? Oh, baby wipes was not pleasant. I mean, it tasted like you're eating a scented baby wipe, but it's not going to make me throw up. I mean, it's not like it's an unpleasant scent. It's just not something you expect to put in your mouth. But I'll tell you what, the very last one we did, we saved it because Jake was pulling the beans out himself. And when it got to the last one, it was skunk spray. It was because black is either black licorice or it's skunk spray. And he's like, I can't stand black licorice. So either way, this is going to suck for me. Whereas me, I love black licorice. I would have been perfectly happy with that. And so, okay, on three, one, two, three, go. And we both got skunk spray, and it was the foulest thing ever. It is so bad that it made both of us gag. And this is the only one that, after we bit into them, the stink filled the car so bad that it made everyone else in the car start gagging. That's how horrible these things are. And it only leads me to the question, why do we do these things to ourselves? Why? I mean, you know how bad it's going to be. You know it's going to be miserable torture. I mean, honestly, the best result you could hope for is, okay, that's a pleasant jelly bean. I don't mind that one. Whereas the consequences for not getting that's all right, is, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. I think I'm going to die. Why would we do that to ourselves? But apparently we do it for the humor value. And it was really funny, and it was really fun. So I guess that's why. But also this week, I discovered a new game that I want to play so bad. And this is thanks to Nelly. Nelly sent me a link for this. There's a video for it on YouTube. And there's probably several videos, but this is the one that she sent me and that I watched. It's from the Viking Games. And this is it looks like a Viking flavored Renaissance fair somewhere in Scandinavia, probably. And it is the Viking game in particular that she showed us is Jomsvikinger, which I don't speak any Scandinavian language. I assume it's Norwegian, and so therefore horribly mispronounced. But Jomsvikinger, spelled with a J, also known as the chest game, if you want to do Google searches for it. And maybe I'll even put the link in with the show this time, because it is so worth it. The chest game is spectacular. You have a big wooden chest that is the center of this game, and then you have two competitors, and in this particular case, both competitors are dressed as Vikings because they're at the fair at the Viking Games, and they're both blindfolded, and they're both carrying a bag that is weighted with something. It looks like a bag with probably dirty laundry stuffed in the bottom of it. So, you know, it's almost like a pillow, almost, but, you know, long enough that it's got a good handle on it. and they're both blindfolded, and the object is you have to keep your hand on the chest at all times. So you have two guys circling this chest, circling each other, each keeping a hand on the chest with blindfolds on so they can't see each other. And then there's a whole call and response bit to it that I finally, they're, again, not speaking English, so I had to look up the translation later. But it's something along the lines of one guy calls out, opponent, and the other one, yeah, opponent, yeah. And this is the whole Marco Polo phase of the game where you're trying to get a bead on where he's going and what he's trying to do. And then after you call a couple of times, then it's, may I hit you with my bag? And then the other guy will give something along the lines of, you know, absolutely, or yes, indeed, or I can't wait for it. Something that shows that he's eager for you to take a swing. And then you take a swing with your bag and you try and clonk him on the head with it. Although any good body contact counts as a point, from what I can tell. And they make these wild swings, and of course they're blindfolded, and so, you know, the guy's leaning way over to one side to try and pretend that he's over here, and then he'll duck back the other way, or as long as he keeps his hand on the chest, he throws himself flat on the ground, or whatever. And it goes on, this is like a 6.5 minute video before they finally, after one guy made contact 3 times with the other guy, then the game was over. But it is a riot. Absolutely hysterical watching these guys circling each other, playing this game. They'd bump into each other once in a while. And it's just funny. And it's, you know, relatively harmless. It's pillow fight style, you know, type action. So, you know, it's no worse than foam core weaponry. It's no worse than a pillow fight. They, you know, even when they did make contact, it wasn't, you know, it's not like people are getting concussions from this or anything. And it was just hysterical. And I'm thinking to myself that, yeah, next opportunity I have at some, you know, family reunion, family gathering, something, I'm putting together a game of Jomsvikingr. In fact, you know what? Kyle, you need to watch the video for Jomsvikingr, and then you need to do this with your family because you guys always have a circle of people gathering to do outdoor events for stuff. Put together, in fact, watch the other videos that go with it and put together a series of Viking games. And then you can send me videos of how awesome it is and post those out there because I think it looks spectacular. I really can't wait to try this game. So thank you to Nelly for sending that to me. And if I ever get a chance to play it, I'll let you guys know because this was hysterical. All right. That's it for the gaming table. Next up, something completely different.
And now for something completely different.
That's right, something completely different, just stuff I don't have a category for yet. And what I found was an article from, it came out of Mental Floss, mentalfloss.com. And they came up with a guy who has identified the perfect crime. If you want to get away with murder in this country, this is one of the ways that you might be able to do it. And this guy was, his name is Brian Cault, and Brian Cault was a law student, and he had his final, whatever it was he had to write, some analysis of some point of law, and but he was also newly married, and his wife was about to have a baby, and so he had other pressures, and he was short on time, and he wound up focusing in on the idea of federal crimes and federal jurisdictions. And he noticed that it always says that when you convene a jury for a federal crime, then it needs to be – the jury needs to be comprised of people from the federal district that the crime took place in, and also the people had to be from the state that the crime was committed in. And everywhere that he was reading about it, there was always a matter of – it always said something about the fact that since the federal district lines lined up with state lines, this was never any real problem, except for, you know, this one little bit of the Wyoming district. But, you know, it's not big enough and not serious enough that anyone needs to worry about it. And that fascinated him. He thought, really? Really? Is it really serious enough that no one needs to worry about that? And what it turned out is that the federal court district of Wyoming happens to also include all of Yellowstone. This is just, I don't know if it was sloppy, district boundaries or what they were thinking at the time, but in general, the district courts, for federal courts are all, they're all drawn right along state lines. So it always includes a state, and nothing else. Anyway, the details of the actual districts are fine. Just know that they usually follow state lines. Except in the case of Wyoming's district, which also includes all of Yellowstone, which means it's got a little bit of Montana in it, and it's got a little bit of Idaho in it. And you think, okay, well, that's not a big deal. I mean, if you commit a federal crime in the Montana district, Montana portion of the Wyoming district there in Yellowstone, no problem. As long as you can draw jurors from Montana that happen to live in that little portion of the district, you're fine. But what he found out is that the Idaho portion, there's nobody that lives there. The Idaho portion of Yellowstone has no actual residents. It's all national park with no residents. Therefore, if you commit a murder on Yellowstone property in Idaho, that means you're on federal grounds when you commit the murder, therefore it is a federal crime, and they go to convene a jury, by law, the Constitution says you have to draw all of the jurors from the Wyoming district, but they also have to be residents of Idaho. Well, there are no residents of Idaho living in the Wyoming district because there's nobody in that section. Therefore, they can't convene a jury. Therefore, they can't try you. All right? And that would seem to be a minor point because, you know what? If you've killed somebody, you know, clearly some judge is just going to say, hey, you know what? Obviously, the intent of this isn't to give people this little loophole. Clearly, the person committed a crime. We'll try them in some other court, or we'll draw our jury pool. But this man argued, yeah, but yeah, you say that. But what'll happen in reality is that if it were to ever come to trial, you know, what, you're just going to say that the rules of the Constitution are to be ignored because it doesn't make sense at this particular moment? No, probably if someone actually committed murder there, they would probably wind up being able to get off on a technicality, and then Congress would move in and go, oh, well, we need to fix that. We can't let that happen. And so then they would redraw the district lines or rephrase the wording or whatever, and they'd fix it up. But he says, why would we wait until somebody actually gets killed? It's not that he thinks that it's necessarily going to happen, but it could. And now that I've written a paper about it, what if I'm the one who gave them the idea on how to commit the perfect murder? So he's been campaigning for years to try and get somebody to change this, and nobody will. It's been like 10 years, 12 years, and nobody will change it, because nobody seems to think it's that important. So it turns out then that this actually came to be tested, and not with a murder, but with a guy who, and I have his name too. The guy's name is Michael Beldurain. And Michael Beldurain was in the Idaho portion of Yellowstone National Park, and he shot an elk. So he was poaching. Federal crime on federal property. He was poaching. And there's some details of where the elk was and where it fell and how he dragged it through, whatever. But the whole point is, he was poaching, and the crime is considered to have taken place in the Idaho portion of Yellowstone. And so therefore, he and his lawyer actually went into court and argued that since there was no way to convene a jury for this, because there are no residents in the Idaho portion of Wyoming's district, then you're going to have to let him off because he can't get a fair trial. And ultimately, the sad part is, rather than carrying this to its conclusion, instead of actually working this out and then doing something to get the law changed, which thank God would have been over a minor thing like killing an elk rather than, you know, murder, instead of solving this while they had the chance, instead they came up with some sort of lesser plea deal. And part of the conditions of the plea deal is that he's not allowed to challenge this point of law, and therefore it's all done with, and we're just simply going to pass the buck on to the next time it happens. But I just thought it was interesting, just fascinating. And mental floss is one. I'm changing topics now. Mental floss, I found, I love mental floss, but they put out so many articles and so many links every day, and they're just all clickbait to me. Everything from mental floss is something that, oh, I have to see what that is, and I have to keep myself from, because otherwise I would be doing nothing but reading their site all day long. Atlas Obscura is another one. AtlasObscura.com. Oh man, I have, with both of these sites, I have on Facebook, I'll like them because I like their articles. And then I will get so much stuff from them and so much stuff that seems so fascinating that I could just get lost in there. And so then I'll unlike them because God, you just stop filling my feed with things that I want to read. And then I'll put them back in and then I'll take them out. So right now I have them both in there. And so that's where a lot of the stuff I talk about comes from because I just find them so fascinating. Although on the plus side, it occurred to me as I was looking at them, like, oh yeah, remember when I had that problem with Cracked, going to cracked.com? Yeah, I haven't looked at Cracked in, over a year, couple years. I think someone linked, I clicked on an article and it wasn't until after I clicked on it that I realized I was at cracked.com. And I'm like, oh wow, I haven't been here in ages. And then whatever the article was, it was stupid and I left and, oh man, so glad to break my Cracked addiction. But now, Mental Floss and Atlas Obscura, if you want stuff that's just fascinating stuff about history, science, nerd stuff, the kind of things that I talk about here, man, both of those are aimed directly at me, the consumer. Wow. All right. Anyway, enough about that section. Roku! Yeah, Roku is the box that I used to use to do all my streaming services and still the name for this segment. But Roku is about all my TV watching habits. And I will just tell you, everything that everyone has told you about the Netflix show Stranger Things, they are dead on. That show is awesome. Holy crap. I'm only 2 episodes into it. You have to watch Stranger Things. It is amazing. Stranger Things is a mystery, supernatural, sci-fi, we're not sure what's going on kind of show. Definitely horror thriller, definitely sci-fi, definitely in the veins of X-Files, definitely lots of movies about creepy things happening to kids back from the 80s. The opening is a clear homage to E.T., because the opening of the show starts with kids playing Dungeons and Dragons and winds up with something weird and the kid goes into the shed and it's a clear homage to E.T. And I think there are homages to other shows of that era, other movies of that era. I saw an article that said, all the references from Stranger Things, and it gave a, there was a picture of the Goonies on the article. I didn't click on it because I didn't want any spoilers, but it's going to be stuff like that. And it's just really addictive. And I'm only 2 episodes in, and Stranger Things just trips my triggers. It is awesome. Really, really good. So if you're not watching Stranger Things and this sounds even vaguely appealing to you, dude, watch an episode. Give it a shot and see what you think. It'll get you right from the beginning. It's really good. All right. See, that's all I needed for Roku. Next, get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
I'm getting out.
Yes, Noah, you go.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. This is one that I just happened to be talking about this to my wife the other night, and once I got done talking to her, I realized, oh, that makes a great nerd rage. I didn't realize my feelings were so intense about this. My nerd rage is about the books Twilight and, the Twilight series and the anime manga, I guess, series Death Note. Now, what do Twilight and Death Note have in common? Well, they are the only 2 books I can think of off the top of my head that I have rage quit and never gone back to. Because, and both of them, I have the feeling that both of them have been segments on this show before for this exact reason, but I'm telling you, all right, Twilight, Twilight has some issues to it. The first book, Twilight, has some real issues. The heroine, Bella, is not a a terribly great role model because she's a very passive sort of hero, and most of what she does in this book is simply reacting to other things, and has a very unrealistic view of the nature of young love and relationships and what's appropriate. And there's a lot of things in it that are problematic. But having said that, I read the book, and the book, while it had some silly stuff in it and things that I kind of made fun of a little bit, for the most part, the book kept my attention. I read it all the way through. When I got done, I wasn't sorry I read it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, wasn't going to make my top 10 list, but it wasn't bad. You know, it served its purpose, and I could see why people were as obsessive about it as they were. It made sense to me. And then I started into book two, which is what, New Moon? Is that the second one? I don't remember which one is book two. And book two, and I'm just spoiling all of this for you, so be prepared for that. If Twilight was that important to you and you somehow haven't read it, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do anything for you at this point. And I got into book two, and it opens up with Edward breaking up with Bella, and then she's devastated. It's the end of the world. And then there are blank pages, just several blank pages. That's it. To represent, obviously, her apathy and despondency. And I get that. Okay. But it's blank pages in a book. And then after the blank pages, now we start up with Jake. And it's now, instead of Bella and Edward, it's Bella and Jake. Okay, she's moved from vampire to werewolf. And by this point, I mean, I was reading this late enough in the phenomena that I know where this is going. I know that ultimately Edward is her true love, because it tells us right in the first book that Edward is her true love. It doesn't matter what happens with her rebound werewolf here, because we know she's getting back with Edward eventually. But holy crap, they're starting from the beginning. I got these blank pages, and now, oh God, you're telling me we're going to build up this whole bullcrap relationship stuff again? All for the purpose of now she's got some kind of love triangle when we know that Edward's the only one for her. We know they're soulmates. We know that. No, I can't do it. I can't. The blank pages followed by, okay, we're starting over with a werewolf. I was so upset. I set it aside. I mean, I got maybe 3 pages past the blank section. And I was like, no, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. As I know some of you are out there going, I can't believe you made it that far. Yeah, you know what? I was giving it a shot because lots of people like the Twilight series. And again, I read the first book. I could see why. I couldn't do it. Absolutely couldn't do it. It pissed me off. It was too bad. All right. But even a series that pissed me off even more than that, Death Note. Okay. Now, if you've never read Death Note, it is really good. And I am going to tell you, it is awesome. And they've got a movie coming out now, or a TV series or a something, but Death Note is coming out. So if you don't want me to spoil Death Note for you, get out now, because Death Note, in spite of my personal rage over it, Death Note may be something you would really enjoy. And there's stuff coming out about it. So, this is your warning now. And I'm going to be about 5 to 7 minutes here of spoiling everything about it because it pissed me off. So in Death Note, you have a Shinigami, which is a Japanese demon type creature. And the Shinigamis in this story all have what are called Death Notes. It's a little journal. And if they write someone's name in it, that person dies. And then if they write that person's name in it and actually specify how they're going to die, the person dies exactly the way they specified. It's a really powerful little book. And one of the Shinigamis, who I can't remember his name right now, but because it's been a while, one of the Shinigamis decides he's bored. And so he is going to leave his Death Note for some mortal human being to find just to see what happens, because he thinks this is going to be fun. And so he does. And the guy finds it. It's a kid. He's a high school kid. And after a little bit of trial and error playing with the Death Note, he figures out what it is, what it does, how it works. And he goes through a whole process, and it's very meticulous. He goes through a process of testing out the limits of it and seeing what he can get away with it, and how it actually works. And it's very fascinating. And he winds up talking to the Shinigami at some point and gets more details about it. And it's all really fascinating. That what, you know, if you had a magic book that allowed you to kill anyone, anywhere, at any time, with zero chance of it being traced back to you, What would you do with it? And what he does is he ultimately decides he's going to make the world a better place and start eliminating people who deserve to be eliminated and using it tactically to eliminate certain people, making it clear that this is why they're being eliminated, and thus scaring people into not being dicks anymore, to not committing crimes, not, right? So he's doing murder, serial murder, but in the name of a good cause. All right. Fascinating. No, he's murdering people. He's murdering evil people in order to make the world a better place. Well, okay, but it's like the Punisher. The Punisher in the comics goes around with his guns and he catches really, really bad people. He catches murderers and drug dealers and people who are really evil people, and he murders them in order to stop them from doing what they're doing and saving the people that would have been these people's victims and saving the American justice system the costs of having to prosecute and house all of these people. He's just taking care of it all on his own. Again, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the tactics, but it's an anti-hero sort of thing, and I get it. All right. And so, so this is going on, and now the kid who has the death note, his dad happens to be a police officer, chief of police, I think. Doesn't matter. And so there's this little back and forth of him worrying about getting caught, even though how could they possibly trace it back to me? But then the police bring in L, and that's the only name we know him by, L, which means if you have a death note, well, you don't know his real name. All you know is L. Therefore, you can't kill him with the death note. Uh-oh. And L is a master investigator, a Sherlock Holmes-level master investigator. He's this sort of so ultra genius. And he also, by the way, happens to be a teenage kid. And yet, I mean, look, it's a Japanese manga. It's fine. We accept that premise. I'm good with that. All right. And so we have, through six books of Death Note, we have this back and forth cat and mouse as L is smart enough that, yes, you have the untraceable murder machine in your hands, but by looking at, I mean, they actually, you know, they set up sting operations of, okay, so if we announce the release of this criminal, but we only put it on these news stations and we don't make it a nationwide thing, then okay, now we can start narrowing down the area because whoever it is must have seen this report. So he must live in one of these areas and we can kind of narrow it down. And L is actually good enough at this that he actually starts closing in. It's brilliant. All right. And like I say, this whole back and forth is just, it's masterful. It's really well done. It is a great story. Okay. But then, at the end of book six, L dies. We finally get him, and L gets killed by the death note. I think it was by the death note. It doesn't matter. L is dead. Our anti-hero has finally solved this issue. He's gotten rid of L. Great. Now, I know that there's 12 books in this series, so I'm thinking to myself, well, where the hell do they go from here? Oh, I can't wait to find out what's going on now. And so I pick up book seven, and book seven opens with two brand new detectives, investigators, who both are the exact same genius level as L. In fact, they are like his cousins or nephew and niece, or they're somehow related to, connected to L. They were his proteges, and they're both supra geniuses, just like L was, with the exact same investigative mind and the exact same kind of abilities, and yet we've never heard of them before. Six whole books, and you've never mentioned, we've never seen him working with anyone else, we've never known that these people existed, and now, L's dead. How do we solve that problem? Well, we just bring in new copies of L that, magically appear out of nowhere. It was bullshit is what it was. I accepted everything else. Everything else in this book, I was on board with. I was right there. But you know what? The fact that I've never heard anything about them, the fact that I knew nothing about them until the moment they showed up on the page and suddenly they're there to solve this plot hole, fill this gaping hole in the book. And they didn't show up until then. That tells me that you didn't plan that out. You backed yourself into a corner and now you're scraping to get out of it. That's ridiculous. Because if you had plotted this from the beginning, you would have mentioned them. We would have seen enough about them to know that oh, when we get to, maybe we didn't see that's where it was going, but at least we would have had enough clues to go, oh yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah, no, that'll work. Maybe they're not exactly as good as L, but they're close enough and there's two of them and they can work together. But no, you didn't tell us that. Oh, I was so pissed. I was so pissed that the minute they introduced them, I didn't even get another page. I set the book down. I'm like, no, I am done. I am absolutely done. And it sat on my headboard for a year because I kept thinking that, all right, maybe I'll get over this. Maybe I'll get over it and I'll get back to it. But I still can't. Every time I think about it, makes me so angry. And I think I set that thing down about 4 years ago. I finally gave it back to, they're my son's books, Jacob's. I finally gave it back to him because I realized all I'm going to do is leave it on my headboard and I'll pile stuff on it. And one day I'll spill a drink and I'll ruin his book. And I better give it back to him before I do that because I'm never going to read it. But so there you go. Twilight and Death Note, the only two books I've ever rage quit. And that's why. All right. Is there anything else? Because see, I'm going to Gen Con. And I think I have just completely cleared out my entire master list. Yep. I had some stuff about presidents, but I kind of covered that last week when I talked about who I'd go out to drink with and smart politicians. I got cracked. I got bean boozled. Yeah, I think that is everything on my master list. My book is now completely clean and ready for everything that's going to happen to me at Gen Con. I am so excited. So, you know what we're going to move on to now? That's right. It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Oh, my favorite noise. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Awesome. And this first number is 90. Let's see where 90 is. Oh, come on. No, don't tell me I didn't just accidentally close my list. Oh, thank God I didn't. Okay. But I didn't randomize it because... I can't be bothered to actually do prep work. Let's go. Hold on. Data. Sort range. Yes, I have a header row. Sort it by the randomizer. Go. All right, here we go. Number 90. 90 is... Oof. I overshot. I know. Great radio, isn't it? You guys love it when I do this. All right. It's from Kaz. All right. Kaz says, what game have you played that you've been disappointed with? And then, to give me time to think, he says, I will share that I was sad with my only session of Gamma World 4E because one of my players was grotesquely useless. Ooh. I was disappointed with lots of games when I was young. Gamma World was one of them. Top Secret and James Bond 007. I bought a board game when I was a kid that was, because I was a huge fan of the Dragon Riders of Pern. I loved Anne McCaffrey. I loved everything she wrote, and I especially loved all of the Pern books. And so I bought a board game, a really complicated one, that was about Pern. It might even have been called Dragon Riders of Pern. And that thing was horrific, and I had no fun playing it. And, I mean, we got halfway through playing it one time, and then we just put it away and never touched it again. There's been lots of stuff like that, but that was all when I was young. I'm trying to think of stuff that I've played in recent years that I've been disappointed with, and I'm sure they're out there. I mean, you know, video games, and there's got to be all sorts of stuff. There was a couple of games that we played. I can't remember where we saw them demoed, somewhere in some, you know, Thinky Children's Toy Store where they do all the smart toys and stuff like that. And we bought one of them from Blue Orange Games called Fast Track, which involves there's rubber bands mounted into this board and you wind up shooting discs back and forth. That one actually went off really well and I enjoyed that one. Like I said, that's from Blue Orange and I like everything Blue Orange has done that I've seen so far. And then there was another one called Jishaku, I think that's the name of it. And it involves this foam board, and there's magnets in it, and it's I can't remember exactly how it works, but it's got these magnetic stones. And so when you're trying to place them or move them or whatever, there's always this risk that you're going to go to set something down, and then all of a sudden all the magnets are just going to snap together. And you know, it like Jenga tumbling down, when the magnets all snap together, that's when you've lost it. And we demoed it in the store, and it was really fun. And then once we got home and we played it on our own without the assistant there helping us set up and move stuff, it just never, I mean, just nothing ever worked the way it was supposed to. It was really disappointing. Okay, hold on. I've got a little buzz going. Let's see what this is. Yep, it's right there on the thing. So let me see if I can move some cords. Figure out what that thing is. Boy, that is really disturbing. All right, I'm going to pause for a second. Sorry to do that to you guys, but hey, I cleared it up. All right, sweet. Let's roll another one. 62. And 62 is... Oh, come on. Faster than that, guys. Oh, no. The buzz is back. What the heck is that thing? Is it just when I'm touching the keyboard? That's going to be really disturbing. Okay, 62 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, "Who would you rather have as a friend? Peter Pan or Robin Hood?" Okay. As a friend, Peter Pan or Robin Hood? Robin Hood. Robin Hood is an adult, and at least the mythical legendary Robin Hood is working for noble purposes, and I understand him, and I like him. Peter Pan is capricious and horrifying. I think Peter Pan is, while it would be nice to have him, you know, if he's going to be in my life, it would be nice to have him as a friend. But I don't, I just, you know, as much as the Disney tale makes out Peter Pan to be the hero, I have always been of the opinion that Peter Pan is just a, oh man, it just, he's a bad guy. I mean, he's selfish. He's the kid that won't grow up. That's bad. So, then she also continues, okay, how about as an enemy? Oh, yeah, Peter Pan would definitely be worse as an enemy because, well, he flies and there's magic involved. And, oh, that would be horrible. So, all right, next one. Number 83. 83 is, I think I finally got that buzz out of there. Let's see if it stays. Man, that was killing me. All right. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says, "If you love somebody, setting them free is really stupid, right?" look, if you love somebody and they want to be free, you kind of have to. But, boy, that's tough. That is really tough. The question is, if you love somebody, setting them free is really stupid, right? Yeah, he says no. So, I guess I would balance it out by saying yes. If you love somebody and they want to be free of you, then yes, you should let them go. You set them free, but also with the understanding that, you know, keep contact if you can. Let them know that you're there for them if they need you. If they want to come back, they are welcome to come back. But, you know, it also depends on, I don't know, it depends on a lot of things. Because also, if they want to be free of you, that can be really hurtful too. And then, I have no good answer. But it's not stupid necessarily, but I get exactly where you're coming from. That, you know, you love someone and then you just let them go. And it does seem a little odd, doesn't it? I mean, it's not as simple as that. But I'm just being all vague and weird about it because I don't know. All right. 69, dude. And 69 is from Daz. Haven't heard from Daz in a while. Daz says, "I was also a fan of HeroScape. I have 4 sets of the plastic hexagon grids. I am also a war gamer, so they should be really useful for me for all sorts of games. I can't think of how to use them, though. Help!" Okay. They should be, but setting up a HeroScape board takes so long. But you know what? If you like building with them and you've got something in mind, I could certainly use them for Dungeons and Dragons, because see, here's the thing. The Heroescape figures themselves, they're a little too big for my regular hex map, but if I were to build myself a hex map out of Heroescape tiles, well, now those hexes are a little bit bigger and they would fit everything. So they would work. But again, I'm just so used to, you know, I don't ever know that we're actually going to be exactly in this spot, or that the spot we're going to be in, I could exactly build out of Heroescape tiles. I could probably come pretty close. But in general, a lot of our encounters that when it comes time to need a map, well, we already have the hex map, the wipe off map laid out in front of us. And then we just draw stuff. We just scribble and draw and go. And using the Heroescape tiles would require having a really good idea that you have to be here and this battle has to take place in this spot and therefore you know it's going to be used, but then you have to have the thing set up and ready, and then once the players get there, then you can, like, what, carry it out on a board? Bring it out and go, okay, here's where we are. And then they would be super impressed and it would be a really cool battle. But it's an awful lot of work. I don't know that I'd actually necessarily get to that. So, okay. All right, the buzz was back. You guys, it's going to be all through this episode. I don't know what to do about it. So, anyway, I think we're going to be done with that because we are at 50 minutes, and I've got anniversary stuff to be doing here because it's lunchtime now. So, let's go ahead and turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. Nerd Pride Radio is also a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. From Me Like Trivia and Angry Geeks Versus to The Cast and the Curious and Nerd Pride Radio itself, the Nerd Pride Network provides quality podcasts made by quality nerds. Visit nerdprideradio.com/network, which, by the way, actually exists now, but it's ugly and broken because my HTML skills really suck. I've got to fix it up, but at least it's there. Go check that out, Nerd Pride Network. I'm really proud of this. We're doing a good job. All right, the opening and closing theme of this show is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I just used Weezer's In the Garage, and anytime I put bumper music in this show, it's all available on iTunes. You should check them out. You should buy them. You should enjoy them, because I don't put stuff in my podcast unless I love it. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, like it on Facebook, subscribe to it wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Write up nice reviews for me. But more than anything, absolutely recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying this, then come on, spread the word. Find other people who would like it. Let them enjoy it as well. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for my Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me from all of that grueling research. You can reach me, Mike, at nerdprideradio.com, at nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, you know it. The very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey, I am recording. If you guys want to get in on it, respond. I'll read it. And I'm going to start off over at my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And nobody responded. Not a one. It's been open for, how long ago did I open this up? Let me see. I can't see because, there we go. Oh, at 10:53. So now an hour and a half later, nothing. So I posted up, done. You guys all suck. Because obviously you suck. All right. But if I go over to Facebook, I'm sure Facebook won't let me down, right?
Nope.
Let's see. Facebook. Nope. Facebook will not let me down. This is awesome. All right. Some people love you, Dad. Yes, some people do love me. That is exactly correct. So let me cap off Facebook. Done. All right. First one is from Nelly. And Nelly says, I can't wait till you get here. She's at Gen Con already. She showed up, what, yesterday at Gen Con? And she's not leaving till at least, I know she's got a Monday event, and so she's not leaving till at least Tuesday. So this is like 9 days of Gen Con for her. I am jealous. Anyway, Nelly says, can't wait till you get here. I've been vlogging my Gen Con experience like I do every year. I remember way back when your podcast inspired me to do it. Oh, that's so sweet. And yeah, oh, I loved your videos from last year's Gen Con. It was awesome stuff. So I will have to go check those out because I didn't realize you already had them. But I should have figured that out because last year you did, you know, day negative three, day negative two, whatever it was, and really good stuff. So for those of you who are interested, you should also go out and check out Nelly's video log experience on YouTube. Just go over to YouTube and look for Nelly's Nerdy Adventures. That's her channel. And I'm sure there will be all sorts of cool new stuff all week long. So check her out. Next is from Akiva. Akiva says, so how difficult is it to use Roll20? Some friends and I might enjoy it. More specifically, is it hard to create or import maps? You could ask Pat, DM Darks, and you could ask Stan more about the details of that, but I will let you know. Pat responds afterwards. From my experience, I don't think it's tough at all. I think importing maps is actually relatively simple. In fact, okay, I'm now, my eyes are reading ahead because as I'm thinking of things to say, I'm reading ahead to see if Pat mentions it and confirms it. So I might as well just read his response. Pat says, importing maps is pretty easy as long as you're not too obsessed with grid lines matching up perfectly. That's exactly what I would think. Is that if you've got a map and it's already got the grid on it, then it's got to line up with the grid within Roll20. But again, I've never noticed too much of a problem with that. Every now and then we have a map that's a little bit off or doesn't quite get where we want it to be. But for the most part, most of them work out really, really well. So either it's not that tough or Pat's just gotten really good at it after 3 years. But generally speaking, if you're going to create your own maps, you'll probably want to use a different program. There are drawing tools in Roll20, but they're pretty primitive. I've gotten the impression that most of the maps that go in there are ones that he's pulled from other sources, and then you just take the whole image and you just import it straight in. That's my guess. But anyway, yeah, Roll20 is a gorgeous tool. It is absolutely wonderful. And if you have an actual subscription to it, like Pat does, there's actually a lot of extras that go with it. The dynamic lighting is the main one that I'm familiar with, but there's lots of cool stuff in Roll20. We've been using it for 3 years solid and really enjoying it. If you use Roll20 and it's just three or four of you, then the audio and video tools will probably work pretty well, and you can probably play a game actually looking at each other and talking to each other. We play with anywhere from 7 to 9 people in at a time. And so therefore, I know a lot of people leave their video on so they can see other people. I don't. I don't waste the bandwidth on it. As much as I would love to see them, I can't waste the bandwidth on it. And I leave my audio open so that if Pat decides he wants to talk about something, then I can hear it. But in general, even Pat gave up talking a while ago, and we just type everything, and it works out pretty well, actually. Roll20 is a great platform for role-playing games. Just really, really is. And then Pat also follows up that comment with a separate post that says, Zerngel! And you have to imagine that he's waving his arms over his head like Kermit the Frog does when he yells in that same voice. So, Zerngel! That is the goblin war cry that came out of last year's Gen Con, and I have used it so often that my spell check on my phone, if I type Z-A, it suggests to me, do you want Zerngel in all caps? Yes. Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want every time I type the letters Z and A together. Because my spell check loves me. And so, we do that a lot. Was it you, Noah? Were you the one in the car with me when I was showing you Zerngel on my phone? Yeah, I had just gotten a message from Dave, Eliahad. We're making travel arrangements. And I said, here, Noah, roll through this whole list of texts with me. And the word Zerngel has to pop up in texts between me and Dave at least 10 times as you scroll through this whole thing. We say it a lot. So anyway, it's our little inside joke, and we love Gen Con. But that's it. That is the end of this week's show. So I'm going to go to Gen Con, and we will do something spectacular and fun for the podcast while we're there. Look, I'm talking about, I'm going to have all my stuff with me, and we're talking about maybe there will be time that several of us can get together and maybe record a little bit of something for the podcast while we're there. But we thought we'd do that last year, and it turns out that there's so much stuff to do that we never could find a time to slip in, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, hour, whatever it would take. We just never could quite figure out a time to make that work that was really convenient for everybody. And so we didn't do it. But if you remember, Dave and Aiden and I recorded 3 hours worth of material just driving home because, well, once we're in the car, there's nothing else to distract us. So coming up this week, either we'll record something while we're at Gen Con and I'll release it at the regular time, or if we don't get a chance to do that, then yeah, I'm sure Dave and I will have plenty to do on the way home, and you guys have all sorts of bonus material showing up next time. So wish me luck. I'm going to have a great time. It's going to be a great week. I love you guys. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for helping me with this podcast. Thank you for participating. I will see you guys next week. Bye.